Go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. I'll read verse 6, you read verse 7 with me. And he said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, But, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God. And then this little phrase, to tell us our way. And let's pray together. Father, please give us understanding tonight, Lord. Help us as we study this topic. Lord, open our eyes and strengthen us, please, as your people. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this text, Saul, the first king of Israel, he's getting ready to be anointed. His father misplaces the asses, the donkeys, the jackasses, whatever that are there. They get the herd of them, his father's, gets misplaced, and he sends Saul, his son. He's the son of Kish, and he sends Saul and a servant out to look for the donkeys. When they can't find them, they decide to go to Samuel, and Saul is now going to meet Samuel. He's going to be anointed king for the first time. We've spent this many days looking for them. We can't find them. We probably better return to Dad before Dad starts worrying about us instead of the donkeys. There is in this city a man of God. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Let's go ask him. What are we going to bring him? Well, we don't really have anything. And find a silver shekel, and they give him a half part of it. And they said, we're going to go to the man of God to ask how we should go. At the end of verse 8, to tell us our way, is what the Bible describes as counsel. Tonight, the topic is the Christian's tool of counsel in the Bible. Counsel is not just advice. I can get advice on how to build a deck from a lost carpenter. That's advice. How do you do this? You're experienced. How do you do it? If I want, that's advice. But when you ask, how shall my life go? Counsel is, it helps you in guiding your life. Listen, this is the definition I'll give you. Counsel, according to the Bible, is wisdom that helps you guide your life according to God's truth and principles. That's counsel. Now that you understand what it is, it's not just advice, it's God's wisdom to guide you and your thinking and sometimes your actions. That's how God describes it. For instance, Proverbs 11:14 says, Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 15:22 says, Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But once again, in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs, one more verse. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors, once again, there is safety. So God says that multitude of counselors three times. The difference between what I'm giving you tonight is this. If you never get counsel, I'm your preacher. I preach to you, but I'm not your pastor. I'll show you that here in just a little bit. To understand what counsel is and getting counsel is literally the difference between using your pastor the way God designed for you to use. In other words, I'm supposed to do more in shepherding the sheep than just preach the Word of God. That's one of my jobs. But one of the titles in the New Testament means experienced counselor, and I'll show you that. That's another thing that I'm expecting. That doesn't mean that I do that, because I can only do that as you come to me with questions concerning the guidance of your life. Preacher, what does the Bible say about this? Preacher, I'm dealing with this. What does God say about this? I only give counsel as I'm asked. Bible says counsel in the heart of man is like deep water in a person of wisdom. draws it out. What's that mean? If I'm a wise pastor, I don't just go tell you, look, I get one of the frustrating things of being a pastor is I get to watch a lot of people destroy themselves. And if they ain't asking my opinion, I've learned advice not asked for is often resented and never heeded. Okay? The statement is true. If they ain't asking, kind of like, preacher, if I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. Okay? Not really, but that's a joke. All right? I watch a lot of people make mistakes, and I know I watch a lot of people in doing things. Not everybody, but that's one thing I see as a pastor. I'll watch somebody go against the Bible, and I know what the Bible says, and I watch them go directly against it. And if they're not asking, I watch people. In the years, 30 years I've been in the ministry, I've watched people make mistakes with their kids. I know that that's not going to turn out right. I know it as well as I'm saying. Now I'm an experienced parent. I didn't say I was a successful parent. I said I'm an experienced parent, and I know what the Bible says. I watch people make mistakes with their kids, and then the kids get old and get out of church, and then the statement's always the same. Well, we did our best. Now, I'm not saying every person that sometimes kids make their decisions to get out of church, and it's their decision. You understand? Parents can't guide. You guide them until they're 18. Amen. From after that, they're done. You're done. But I've watched some parents make mistakes with their kids, and then the kids get 18, get out of church and all that, and the statement's always the same. Well, we kept them in church. We raised them according to the Bible. And they didn't. They taught their kids that going to church was a convenience. It's never a priority. Now, I watched that happen, but they didn't. And then I watched that. So I guess I'm saying, I don't offer my count. I don't offer biblical, hey, you know what the Bible says? I don't do that. Proverbs. I don't do that. I only give counsel as it's asked. Amen? And if I don't know, hopefully I'm wise enough, and hopefully you can tell, preacher just doesn't talk to hear himself talk. If I don't know, I'll let you know, and I'll research it, and I'll find out. But if I'm asked, preacher, I'm dealing with this, or I'm struggling with this, or I'm getting ready to do this, what does the Bible say? That's biblical counsel. Can you instruct me? Can you help me? Yes. Yes, I can. Tonight, take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. There's so many different teachings on this. I have never been in a church that taught against getting counsel from the pastor. I know there's some churches in the South, and this is their statement. I don't counsel my people. They can just come to church, hear me preach, and if that ain't good enough for them, they can just rot rooster. I've heard that many times. I don't counsel. Okay, if a pastor doesn't counsel, that doesn't make him wicked or bad. That's just what he was taught. I was taught a pastor is supposed to counsel his people. And a pastor is supposed to be available. So there's two paths that I've heard. I don't know how a man of God can say that unless he was programmed that way when he was taught. Okay, some preachers get real burned out on people coming to them asking their counsel and then the people not following the counsel. So they get cynical about it. They're just like, I don't give counsel anymore. Nobody does what I say anyway, so I just, here, come and listen to me preach, and that's all I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm not that way. I've never been that way, and by God's grace, I won't be that way. Amen? When you're struggling with something or you need help, I hope I'm always available to help you, because I believe that's what I'm supposed to do. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 28. Deuteronomy 32. For they, look at verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Do you hear the heart cry of God? God says, I wish my people would get counsel. But because they don't, they're void of understanding and they just struggle along in life. God says, I wish my people would get counsel. That's Deuteronomy 32. Now, not having counsel will make you void of wisdom. Anyone can learn from their own mistakes. But listen, a wise man will learn from someone else's mistakes. Right? You can learn from the school of hard knocks if you want. But I wouldn't brag about it. I just learned my lessons from the school of hard knocks. You mean you never asked anybody's help? No, I just got beat around myself. I don't know why it's Southern, so don't. Here we go again, okay? But have you ever heard somebody say that? I just learned what I learned from Hard Knocks. You didn't have to. You did that because you wanted to. There is a better way. Life does not have to beat you to death. Amen? There is a better way in the Bible. God wants to... Okay, now, go to the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalm 119. Look at verse 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. Tonight I'll show you that God wants to guide you. Look, God's not the weak link in our life. We are. Amen? God doesn't ever cheat me or shortchange me. I shortchange myself by my thinking process. Sin shortchanges me, but God's never cheated me. Amen? So God wants to guide you. Look at verse 133. I'm in Psalm 119. Look at verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. God, help me not to be controlled by sin. Don't let me be controlled by my flesh and my impulses. Dear God, order my steps in thy word. Show me what you want me to do. And God says, I want you to pray that way with verse 133. Wise people, you're in Psalms, go over one book to Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Just go over one book. Proverbs 12 and look at verse 15. I'm gonna use this word over and over again tonight, all through the Bible study. And I just want you to see this is a huge topic in your Bible. And when you see it, you ought to be thinking right. You ought to be thinking right. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. Ready? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I've heard Christians make this statement. When I was in Bible college, some Bible college students, Brother Hiles would preach on counsel. A good Christian gets counsel, uses the tool of counsel. I heard Bible college students, two of them, not everybody, but two of them said, I don't get counsel from nobody. I like what one person said. I don't get counsel, I make my own decisions. And he was talking to another Christian. The Christian looked at him and said, I make my own decisions too. I've decided I'm going to get counsel. I like that. I never forgot it. Some people are real set. They can be real set. I've learned this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Have you ever thought about this? If you're so right in your decisions, why wouldn't you want to ask somebody else and have them tell you that you're right? People don't sometimes go to the pastor because they know they don't want to be told no. And in counsel, they think multitude of counselors means I need to find, and that's what you're thinking, Facebook and your media and your Instagram. It provides a support group for people that agree with you, but there's no good counsel there. And people are looking, you agree with me, don't you? No, don't tell me no. You agree with me, don't you? Good. Join my, subscribe. There we go. Yeah, thumbs up, right? Okay, everybody understand? That's the day and age we live in. You like what I'm saying? Do you agree with me? Don't disagree with me. You're not allowed to disagree with me. And that's garbage. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Nobody disagrees with him. And that's one sign of a fool. You're in Proverbs 12. Go to Proverbs 15. Ready? Watch this. Proverbs chapter 15 and look at verse 12. A scorner or a critic, someone that scorns, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. If somebody's dead set, I understand, okay, I'm not trying to get you. I understand there are some people that take this so far, and I've heard of people, Pastor, I'm going to order pizza tonight for supper. Should I get pepperoni or sausage? Okay, that's a little goofy to me. Okay, it's a lot goofy to me. If you ask me that question, I'll give you an answer. But that's taking it too far. But for somebody to be dead set, I don't get counsel. You do realize that's a trait of a fool. Read your Bible sometime. What does a fool do? They talk a lot. That's one trait of a fool. They criticize and they don't get counsel. They don't get counsel. That's Proverbs chapter 15. Go to chapter 23. Look at verse 9. Ready? Chapter 23 and verse 9. Look, just like counsel is not the only thing I do. It's like this morning's message on memorizing scripture. you're not just, okay, that's not the only thing you're supposed to do with your Bible. You're supposed to do many things with your Bible. Read it, meditate, sing it, you know what I mean? Study it. There's many things. That's one of the things. Counsel is one of the things that a Christian is supposed to use. You've got a lot of tools for your success in the Christian life. Whether you use them or not is up to you. Okay? It's up to you. Ready? Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Ready? Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. I like what sometimes God tells you, don't tell them a thing. If you disagree with them, they're going to use every word against you, and they are going to beat you to death with it. Don't give them a 2x4 to hit you. That's what it says, right? Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. I think when it comes, and watch this, I don't think it's wise, unless you hear me lift up somebody in the church, I don't think it's wise for church members to counsel church members. I think there are some good, godly things that you can learn from each other. Amen? But when it comes to asking advice for life, I wouldn't go around the church saying, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? Be careful. I don't think sheep should pastor sheep. Every time I've watched that happen in a church, sheep get hurt, and then sheep leave church permanently. Okay? When it comes to pastoring, there are some things that, when you hear of problems, there's problems that need to be directed to me. You do not need to be dealing with them. Pastor, this person is dealing with this, or this is dealing with this, but I don't mind if you try to encourage each other with Scripture. You understand? I think you should, and you should pray for each other and love each other. But there's some, when you hear of big problems, no, you're not supposed to step in and try to help me. You bring it to me. Let me deal with it. There's some things I need to deal with. Amen? What do shepherds do? Praise God. I've only had to do it, I think, once since I've been here. But shepherds kill bears and lions, and they cut heads off snakes. If I think somebody's poisonous to the church, it's my job to kick them out. It's not yours. Amen? You're not supposed to go to them and go, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. And that's what I'm supposed to do. Amen? So here we go. You're in Proverbs 23:9. You know what? Go to 1 Samuel. Go back a couple of books to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I want to just show you this. We'll move on here in these topics. But watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. 1 Samuel 10 verse 26 and 27. It says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial..." Now stop. When you see Belial in your Bible, that's the word for devil, right? So the children of the devil, or the children of Satan, said... So that what's getting ready to say is something bad people say. "But the children of Belial said, 'How shall this man save us?' And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." Saul becomes king. He's anointed king, first king of Israel. First couple of years was good. He went bad in a little bit, but he's good here. "And there went with him a band of men whose heart God touched." That's my king. And they followed their king. And then there's always a group of people that says, "Who does he think he is? He's just a man. I'm not following no man. I'm not worshiping no man." It wasn't man worship. God touched their hearts. This is your king. Follow him. And as long as he's doing right, enjoy him. Right? Doesn't mean stand for back everything he does. And if he sins, call it right. They didn't say that. But there'll always be a group of people that go, "They're worshiping a man down there." They'll always, here we go, children of Belial. Children of the devil. It's always the devil's crowd. You understand? And that's what when we were studying Satanism, and they have people that infiltrate churches. Praise God, we haven't had that here. Amen. But what they teach a witch is, go in, tell everybody that you're saved, and then start looking for things, pick apart the pastor, pick apart the sermons, always gripe about it, and then tell them, you just keep crying out, "I ain't following no man." That's how they cause problems in churches. That's called church plants. Okay? That's real stuff. Here, God gives you insight. You don't Here we go. Counsel is always an authority issue. It's never one of personal preference. Listen closely. Even the President of the United States realizes the need for counsel and chooses for himself a group of men whom he calls his cabinet, right? These men are experts, or in the last administration, perverts, in different fields in which the president has to make decisions. I think that's one of the things that's made President Trump so great. It's the conservative people he's gathered around him. That was one flag with Obama. You know, Mike Ayers, rebel, someone who's talking about, you know, destroying America. All the people, Jeremiah Wright, you can take all the people that Obama had around him, and it was like, whoa. It was red flags. You watch President Trump. Does he know how to run the presidency? No, but look at who he's gathered around him. All of them aren't jewels, but there's some conservative people. Ben Carson, give me a break. I mean, about as conservative as it gets. The president understands this, and he gets input, counsel, because it's wise to do. Now, everybody gets counsel, but it isn't always good. Take your Bible and go to 1 Chronicles. Ready? Watch this. 1 Chronicles, chapter 10. So you're there in 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 10. I have learned this in the Christian life, in my years of being saved. Everybody gets counsel, but the counsel that everybody gets isn't good. Just because somebody got counsel doesn't mean that it's good. Here's an illustration of that. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Look at verse 13. Ready? So Saul died for his transgression. So why did God kill him? Watch this. Which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. Watch this. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit or a devil, to inquire of it. In other words, when Samuel died, Saul wanted to find out Samuel's thoughts, so he went to a witch, and then she does the seance, and blah, 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 and he sees, quote-unquote, Samuel, and Samuel tells him, you've blown it. In other words, he got counsel from a witch, and God said, you asked counsel, but it was of the wrong person, because you didn't ask it of the Lord. I'm going to kill you. God killed Saul for that. So everybody gets counsel, but all counsel that people get is not good. I would hope you could take that verse right there and know what God thinks of horoscopes. I don't know why a Christian would have anything to do with horoscopes, ever. It's witchcraft. Well, check your horoscope before you go to work. Why don't you pray and read your Bible? Amen? What do you mean, check your horoscope? I've heard family members that I have say that. Oh, I never leave the house without checking my horoscope. Careful. You're getting bad counsel. I'm not going to say God is going to kill you for it. I'm just going to say I get the picture from the Bible. You ain't supposed to do that. Amen? Everybody gets counsel, but the counsel that everybody gets is not good. There is bad counsel you can get. Obviously, from a witch, that would be one thing. I would think crystal ball gazing, crystal vibrations, all the stuff, palm reading, tarot card, that's all witchcraft. Every Christian should know that. Look, people do that because tomorrow's scary for everybody. None of us know what tomorrow holds. We think we do. Yeah, it's going to quit raining and dry out. Well, yeah, that's probably going to happen tomorrow. But as far as what's going to happen tomorrow, nobody, you don't know. You know what you have to do for tomorrow? Trust the Lord. God doesn't want you getting your palm read or none of that stuff. Tell me what my future is. That's witchcraft. It's foolishness. It's evil. Look at Psalm chapter 1. I know this is a famous verse in your Bible. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. There is in the Bible, according to Job 21:16 and Proverbs 12:5, the counsels of the wicked that we're never supposed to get. Okay? Now, Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I just told you a word, wicked. Wicked is not ungodly. It says, don't walk in the counsel or the advice and guidance for life of ungodly people. It's very important that you understand what ungodly is. Ungodly is not, okay, wicked is living in sin and vileness and trying to hurt each other. If you're ungodly, that means God is not in your life. That's ungodly. That means God, in other words, you know, I'm doing this, but I don't care about God's guidance. You may not be involved in selling drugs to kids or, you know, any vile thing, but being ungodly is when somebody says, I don't care what God says. God's not, that's an ungodly person. And the Bible says, you're blessed if you don't let ungodly people give you advice. It should matter to you. I'll cover this here in a little bit, but you ought to have, before you allow somebody, okay, other than your pastor to give you life-guiding advice, you need to ask yourself some questions. How about this? Are they saved? Number two, do they go to church? Number three, do they love their church and their preacher? Because you can't be right with God and wrong with your pastor. Yeah, man. Think about that just for a second. Make sure the Christians that you get counsel from are right with God. Amen? But they can't come to you griping, man, I can't stand my church, my preaching. Boy, I tell you what, the pastor, he's got knuckles, you know, no holes in his head, and he's, you know, knuckleheaded and all this stuff. They can't come to you criticizing their church and their pastor, and then you get advice from them. Be careful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or advice for life of the ungodly. Knowing that, here we go. Let me give you just one more. I'm going to give you some more counsel of ungodly to stay away from. Christian psychologists should be dangerous to you. I'm going to give you an illustration here, and it gets sobering. Would you please think with me just for a second? When somebody says, I've known one pastor that had a degree in psychology, a doctorate, very, very intelligent man. But he said, when I got out of college, he said, he went to school for 8 years for psychology, right? Study of the human. He said, for me to pick up the Bible, he said, I had to renounce everything I'd been taught. If you're taught psychology, when people say I've got a degree in psychology, I'm like, whoa, they've really been played with. It's going to be Freudian psychology, which is a nasty. Just look up Sigmund Freud. That's the one who teaches most psychology. You can't tell what he teaches in a mixed audience. It's that vile. Okay? When somebody is a Christian psychologist, this is what it means. They got their degree from a secular university and they learned how to put Bible verses with it. They're giving you secular psychology advice with Bible verses. It's ungodly to me. What is psychology? Psych, the soul. Ology, the study of, right? So true psychology is the study of the soul. How can you study the soul without God's Word? Can I tell you something? I think I've made this statement since I've been saved, since I talked with that pastor who was a psychologist, and I had a lot of questions for him. I'd been saved about 4 years. Godly man, amen? But I've learned this. I think the best psychologist you'll ever go to is a pastor that loves God and is soul winning and loves you and loves the Bible. Okay? We had someone in our church 3 years ago. They were struggling with some things, and I said, would you like some help? I mean, they were real, I won't go into it. I said, would you like some help? And this is what they said. Oh, I'm getting professional counsel. I pay $250 for a 45-minute appointment every week. I was like, whoa, I'll do it for half that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. That person, by the way, I think it took them 6 months from that time, they finally got out of church. They've not been back since. When somebody says, I see a psychologist, they don't call them shrinks for nothing. That's in reference to your skull. Do you understand? Head shrinkers. Yeah. It ought to bother you. Amen. I'm getting counsel. Really? Do they help you with your Bible? Did you know all of our problems? All of our problems come from our sin and our relationship with God when it's not right. That's why they say if you go to a psych ward in a hospital and the mental ward patients, they said preaching. This statement's been around for about 70 years, but they said good Bible preaching will fix 80% of those in a psych ward. There are some people that are born crippled. I understand that. There's birth defects in the brain. You understand? And they're not going to get over it, okay? But there's others, they've trained themselves to be that way. And good preaching would help them, amen? All right, here we go. That's ungodly. Stay away from the counsels of the wicked and the ungodly. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. I'm not trying to get you to come to me for everything, but I like the old statement. When the shipmaster would guide his ship into the harbor and there were rocks here that would smash the hulls, the hull of the ship, and there were sharp rocks over here, the safest way into the harbor is when three lights would line up, and they would say, line up three, not just two, but three. And you can guide your ship safely from these sharp rocks and these sharp rocks. And I've been taught since I've been saved, there should be three guiding lights that line up in your life. Your Bible, your prayer, and your pastor. Amen? If those three line up, you can guide your ship safely. I don't care if it's finances, child rearing, your marriage, your life. When those three lights line up, that's what I'm trying to... I'm not pointing you just to me tonight. And I'll show you that here in just a second. I'll show you sources of God's counsel. But I am one of them. You understand? I'm one of them. But this is just... watch this. Here we go. Look at Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but he that walketh wisely, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. God said, for somebody to say, well, I don't get counsel, I just tell myself what to do. God said, you're a fool. He that trusteth in his own, what a verse. Amen? There's a lot there. You say, we're never supposed to get our own counsel. I just counsel myself. You're a fool. Don't counsel yourself. Ask yourself what the Bible says. Ask God what He wants you to do. Get godly counsel, but don't counsel yourself. You say, why? Because the Bible says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, Jeremiah 17:5, and maketh flesh his arm. You say, how come we can't counsel ourselves? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says you can't trust what your heart tells you. You say, why? Because it's not just wicked, it's desperately wicked. It reaches for wickedness. It's desperate for it. You understand? Well, that's God's description of all. Watch this. I don't counsel myself. I have other pastors that are more experienced that I call. If I get if I deal with a hard situation or some hard decisions, I call older pastors that have been in the ministry that are experienced. I've got access to several. Amen. But I don't want to counsel myself. Here we go. You're in Proverbs. Look at, okay, you know what? To do this, we got to go to Job. Go to Job. Ready? Watch this. Look at Job chapter 18, verse 7. As a child of God, I need God's help, and I don't know enough to guide my own life. God, there is nothing in my life that God has ever told me, figure it out. Sink or swim. God doesn't go to the pool and push you in. Sink or swim. God never does that. God says, I have a better way. I have a way of training and helping you. And you know what we're supposed to be doing? Going to more older, experienced, successful, godly Christians and getting advice, letting them help you. Amen? Look at Job 18, verse 7. Ready? Let's see if we can go through a couple of these. Look at Job chapter 18, verse 7. The steps of his strength shall be straightened. And then watch this last part. And his own counsel shall cast him down. So does it look like when he took his own counsel, did it help him or hurt him? It hurt him. Now go over to the next book. Go to Psalm chapter 5, verse 10. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 10. I was preaching at a church 15 years ago, and a pastor came to me from a neat church, and just a godly man. And this is before I got into the pulpit that night. He said, I saw you had a Bible study on your website on counsel. He said, it was this Bible study. He said, I've never seen that before. He said, would you teach that to our people? He told me it was one of the most helpful sermons that his people had ever heard. I figured, well, I thought it was basic, but I wouldn't call it like, you know, revival type stuff. You know, I thought this morning's Sunday school lesson on soul winning was a lot heavier. Amen. But he told me it was one of the most helpful Bible studies. To see this, what we're looking at in the scripture, was one of the most helpful that his people had ever gotten. So I thought, well, let's share this. Amen. Look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 10. Ready? We're looking at, we should not receive our own counsel. Watch this. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. So someone who gets their own counsel, does that look like a godly trait or the trait of a wicked person? Of a wicked person, right? You're in Psalm 5. Go over to Psalm 81. Look at verse 11. Psalm chapter 81 and verse 11. Psalm chapter 81 and verse 11. Watch this. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Watch. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And then notice God's cry in verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. So you get the feeling that God says they didn't want to listen. So here's what God told Israel. Fine, do it your way. When you tell God no enough, God says, then fine. If you have no use for my word and you're that stuck on you, then do it your way. When you fall, when you find out that the devil's a liar, when you found out that you don't have the answers, I'll be right here. And you come to me, he said, don't forget I'm here, but do it your way. I don't want God to ever do that to me. Fine, do it your way. Isn't that what it looks like, what God said in the verse? Getting your own counsel is dangerous. Is dangerous. Okay? Watch this. We're in Psalm 81. Let's go to one more. Go over a couple of books to Jeremiah chapter 7. Look, I realize we could stop here and you got it. I just want you to see what I'm showing you. I could show you five more verses on getting your own counsel. Every time in the Bible someone got their own counsel, it ended up in a wicked or a bad way. All right? Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Look at verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Okay, everybody get the picture? Every time getting your own counsel is mentioned in God's word, it's always in a negative way, never in a positive. That tells me, Pastor Nash, you better not counsel yourself. You get counsel from older, godly men that have been in the ministry and love the Lord and are still soul winning. Amen? But you better not counsel yourself. God's word teaches me that. You need a wise counselor. Take your Bible and go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And look at verse 14. This is in your New Testament now. This is back there near Revelation. James chapter 5 and verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. The word elder is another name for pastor in your Bible. It means experienced counselor. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I think what you ought to have underlined in your Bible, the key words are, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's the key to understanding that passage. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I have a bottle of olive oil in my office. It's on my desk. When people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm sick, would you pray for me? I cannot, as I find out people have cancer and sickness, I cannot just go, oh, you're sick? You need me to pray for you. I'll be right back. I'll go get my bottle of oil. They're supposed to ask the prayer of faith. When you have enough faith that says, if God says, when I'm sick, I need to ask my pastor to anoint me with oil and pray for me, that when you go, okay, that's why we have had people come to my office and say, Preacher, can I come to your office? I'm sick. The doctor told me this, and I need to be anointed with oil. The prayer of faith is what saves the sick. I can't, when I find out you're sick, say, hey, do you want me to pray for you? You have to have enough faith in the Bible to ask. I wish more people would, when they're sick, ask for prayer. But that's a section of scripture you have to hold to. Amen? So that's one thing that the elder or the pastor in the church does. Well, he ought to visit. I'm not supposed to go walk through the hospital and go, are you sick? Okay, here, I'm going to pray for you. No, I'm going to put this on you. No, get your Lord, praise, bless him. Ha! Pray for you. Okay, then go to the next room. Okay, I'm going extreme case here. All right? Everybody understand? If you're sick and you believe God's word, then you're supposed to come and ask for prayer. It's not my job to come to you and say, you want me to pray for you? Now, I'll pray for you from a distance, amen. But the anointing of the oil, that's what you ask for, amen. That's a good passage of scripture, and it's good to know. But when you get sick, I wish more people would ask. I don't think there's anything in your life you're supposed to face by yourself. There's no disaster and no tragedy that God ever intended for you to deal with by yourself. I learned that from the Bible. Watch this. That was James. Every Christian should have a cabinet of counselors. Let's go back to Psalm. And I'm going to give you your first counselor. Look at Psalm chapter 119 again. There's so much in that chapter. We're going to look at two verses. Psalm 119 and look at verse 24. I do think, as a child of God, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, and when you read God's Word, God can speak to your heart and help you. Amen? So the first counselor I think you're supposed to have is the Bible. Look at verse 24. Ready? Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. God says, I want you to use my word as counsel. Order my steps in thy word. Let God help you. Let God show you what to do through his word. Amen? Let God's word counsel you. Now, the word of God should be your counselor. Then, I think number two, what else should you have as a biblical counsel? I think God's word teaches the Bible is supposed to counsel you. And then number two, I think your pastor is supposed to counsel you. Amen? There's three titles for the New Testament pastor. One is bishop. We don't use it anymore because the Catholics kind of butchered it and take it. But the word bishop means pastor in your Bible. It means overseer. He's the one that oversees everything in the church. He's a bishop. He's a pastor. The word pastor means feeder and protector of the sheep. Okay, that's the second thing. And then elder, which I told you means an experienced counselor. That's what the word elder means. Someone that's been around a while and knows the word of God. Listen closely. Even if I am younger than you, God still gives me wisdom to do what God has called me to do. Just like God would give you wisdom if you were the pastor of the church, right? It's not me that's special. It's the position that God gives to help the people. So God enables or equips the man of God to help God's people. Amen? But it's not, look, if I die tomorrow, I'm not looking to. But if I did, the next pastor that the church elected, amen, and voted for, would be given God's wisdom. Amen? It's the position. It's not, you understand, it's not all about me. It's the position of pastor and how God uses it with his people. I think next, you should choose somebody with a gift of wisdom. Now, I have some things that I go through. Before you ask anybody their advice on the direction your life should go, find out, do they love the Lord? Do they themselves get counsel? Right? Because we learned an ungodly person doesn't get counsel. Are they a soul winner? Why would you get counsel from anybody that doesn't go soul winning? He that winneth souls is wise. Find out. Why would you get advice from anybody in the church that doesn't go soul winning? Amen? There's a reason. That's important. There should be some qualifications before you get advice from somebody. And once again, I've already told you, do they love their preacher? Do they love their church? Amen? Here's a good one. Do they love preaching? Ask yourself, at least have a checklist. But sometimes I'll hear, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, and they told me, you know, what we need to do in our marriages. And I'm sitting here going, did you know they've been married three times? I don't say that, but I'm sitting here going, why would you? They could probably tell you what not to do. Amen? But what in the world? I heard that at one church where I was at. Yeah, boy, they invited us over to their house, and they just told us, boy, to do. And I'm sitting there going, so you'll ask Screwy Louie, but you won't ask your preacher? Springs are going off, and I'm like, wow, okay. Have a checklist of people. I'm nice to everybody, amen? But I don't get life-guiding counsel from everybody, amen? I don't get counsel from everybody. I'm very careful who I spend time with and who I get counsel from. I think you can use this. Who else should be one of your counselors? Who should be in your multitude of counselors or your cabinet of counselors? I think somebody that's a sincere friend. Proverbs 27 verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know what my dad told me? He said, son, in your lifetime, he said, count the people that will correct you. By the time you die, you can count them on one hand. Most people, when you speak your mind, will just agree with you because they don't want the conflict. He said, but when you find somebody that says, I don't think that's right, they're willing to tell you no, he said, you found a friend. You found somebody that loves you past what they think of the relationship. They're willing to tell you right. They're willing to correct you. That's a friend. That's a friend. So doth the sweetness, I love that verse, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I don't need people to agree with me. I'll give you this illustration. I was going to work, and Rich Stoltz always picked me up. He's in heaven now. He had a heart attack a year and a half ago. He was just a couple years older than me. When we were in Bible college, he'd pick us up for work, and we had a 15-minute ride to work and a 15-minute ride back home. He said, I'll pick you up. He never had me pick him up. He always, big Suburban. Then we go dumpster diving afterwards. Amen. Okay. We did. We were poor Bible college students. Amen. I remember going to work, and I got critical one day. I said, man, I just can't stand it. I mean, I was having a bad day. I wasn't yielded to the Holy Spirit, and I just got critical. Man, I can't stand so-and-so. And I'll never forget what Rich did. Rich is driving down the road, and he goes, I really don't think we need to be talking about that. And I remember what my dad said. I just found a friend. He loved me enough to warn me, what you're doing right now, you're getting critical, you're getting negative, and you need to stop, because your walk with God should be more important to you than that. I never forgot that. Find the people that'll correct you. You found a friend. Somebody that truly loves you enough to tell you what's right. Amen? Here we go. Make a sincere friend, a true friend, not someone that just agrees with you. And then I would think a child should use their parents if their parents are saved. Amen? Some parents, I realize, some children come from horrible backgrounds and, you know, they don't even know who their dad is, and then, you know, the mother is living in a horrible life. I understand that. But if they're saved, a child should be able to ask their parents, amen, and use their... I don't know a parent that wants their kid to turn out bad. Amen? They want their kid successful. So use your parents that God gave you, and I think that's scriptural and that's godly. God shows us... Let's close tonight. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to close with this. We started here. We're going to end here. Amen? I want to show you one of the most, I think, amazing verses in the Bible, and then we'll close it down. I wanted to do a Bible study tonight on counsel, because it's a tool that every Christian should have. I don't need it every day, but when I need it, I pull it out, and it's that greasy wrench that God told me about a long time ago and has a lot to say about in the Bible. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. We read about how Saul goes to the man of God, and in verse 6, it says here, now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. At the end of verse 8, we find those definitions with, at the end of verse 8, to tell us our way. That's the definition of counsel. And watch this, look down at verse 14. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. And verse 15, I wish you'd mark and think about. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. We're going to close with this thought. One of the things God gives a pastor is the wisdom and insight to help his people. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. But there's some things God gives the answers to. How come God didn't give it to Saul and his friend that were searching for his father's asses? Because God expected him to go to the preacher. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to make a conclusion from this. Verse 15 is very powerful to me. I'll say it again. There's some problems God intends for you to get counsel on. God never intended for you to, well, figure it out. He'll tell you that if you're a stubborn, backslidden ding-dong. But if you're wanting God's help, God never says figure it out on your own. There's some problems you'll face in your life that you need that God already tells me what to do. It's not spooky. As I think about you and pray for you, and I God shows me things. That's where the sermons come from. Amen. It's not spooky. I might have a cloud around me, but I need to take a shower. Amen. I'm just saying, there's some things God won't tell you. Well, I'll just read my Bible and pray and get it. I think that'll work for some things. For some things, I don't. As a matter of fact, I know it won't work. God expects you to use your pastor in some things. Amen? I learned that from 1 Samuel chapter 9. I hope tonight's message is helpful and it puts a tool in your toolbox to use. Once again, it's not every day. You know, don't text me, preacher, what's sausage or pepperoni? Okay? But there are some things you're expected to get counsel on, godly counsel. Remember those three lights I told you about? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Strengthen us as your children, please. Bless these sweet people. Help us in our church. Lord, in a world that is, Lord, in some cases I find...